Hey there, I'm Matt Tommy, and over the last 10 years, I've helped thousands of Christian artists all over the world start thriving spiritually, artistically, and in the marketplace, while at the same time building my own super successful art business. If you're ready to bust through the roadblocks that have held you back for years, create the work you love, and really live the life you know God created you to live in His kingdom, then you're in the right place, my friend. Now, with over 500,000 downloads, you're listening to the Thriving Christian Artist Podcast. Well, hey, welcome again to the Thriving Christian Artist Podcast. So glad that you're with me today. I've got a great friend of mine, Casey Corbin, who's going to be with us on the show today, who's actually talking about a process he's developed called mind-based mood management. Casey is a great artist, teacher, loves marketing about as much as I do, but he's also a therapist in his full-time job and loves to help people really step into the fullness of who God's called them to be. And this interview today is going to really, really do that. It's going to give you an easy methodology that Casey talks about in the interview to turn those stressful and fearful situations into an opportunity that God can use to bring growth and maturity in your life. Now, because this is a little bit more of a teaching episode as opposed to just an interview, we also did a blog article on my website. You can click over to that via the show notes and get all the details so you're not feeling like you have to scurry around and take a bunch of notes during this teaching. You can get all of that right at the blog. And again, you can just click onto that right through the link in the show notes. All right. Now, before we get started today, you know that I always love to give a shout out to my podcast listeners. And today's review on the podcast is over on Apple Podcasts. It's from James Devine. It's a 5-star review, which I really appreciate. And it says, Matt, great content. The Thriving Christian Artist always leaves me encouraged and motivated to continue with the work that God has called me to. Well, James, thanks a lot. That's my heart, is to be that voice in your ear that's pushing you and prodding you and encouraging you along in everything that God's called you to. So it means the world to me that you're listening and that you take the time to review. So thanks for doing that. And guys, listen, if you're out there listening, you've not ever reviewed or subscribed to the podcast, please do that. Also, share that review with us on social media, whatever you're on. Just tag us at The Thriving Christian Artist. And when you do, we'll send you a freebie, my Sell Your Art and Make Money Quick PDF, which has 60 ideas that you can use right now, both online and offline, to start selling your art. I know it'll be a big blessing for you, and I hope that you'll pick that up today when you review or subscribe to the podcast. All right? Well, guys, I'm going to get out of the way. You're going to love this episode with Casey. All of his contact information is in the show notes. And like I said, you can get to the blog there as well with a little more detail. All right, here's my friend, Casey Corbin. Well, hey, my friend, I'm so glad that you're with me on the podcast today. I've got a really special guest, my friend Casey Corbin, who's here actually again. Casey, you are like one of the few people that have been on twice on the podcast. So welcome, brother.
I feel very honored.
Well, listen, I went and looked up right before we started this. I said, what was he on? And it was episode number 43. And so if you want to hear more of Casey's story as an artist and an influencer and a person that helps creatives in a lot of different ways, go check that out. But we're here talking about something a little different today. You put up a Facebook post the other day that caught my eye, and I was like, mind-based mood management. Casey,
yes.
What in the world? Now, you're not only an artist, but you're a counselor professionally. So for those, this is their first time getting to know you, just give us the snapshot. Who are you?
Sure, yeah. My two worlds are art and therapy, and I even wrote a book on art therapy about 8 years ago and about doing it in group work with counselors. And so I also work with counselors to be able to help work with their clients using this process. And it's something I've developed over the last 20 years. I can't believe I've been a counselor for 20 years.
You don't need counseling after doing counseling for 20 years.
Oh, trust me. I am a partaker of the services. Long ago, I heard one of my instructors, I think at least 20 years ago, said that every therapist needs a therapist. And yeah. I have kept that in mind.
That's awesome. You know, there's a word that gets thrown around a lot today, you know, mindfulness and mm-hmm. you know, this mind, body, spirit connection and that sort of thing. And I know for a lot of believers, you know, they may have never heard that terminology. We talk in, you know, Christian circles, as you know, a lot of times about renewing the mind and mm-hmm. and that sort of thing. But
actually, mindfulness is like an ancient Christian tradition. I mean, talk a little bit about that, because learning how to manage our emotions and align with the kingdom is central to what God has for us in our life, right?
I totally agree with that. If you're listening and the word mindfulness or meditation or getting centered, if those are like trigger words for you that go, oh, that's what those other religions do, and it's not what my religion does, then I'd really like to challenge you on that today. And and I got challenged on it too, Matt, because I remember when I first found out, I used to think of the word mystics, I heard people talk about mystics, and I always associated that with witchcraft. But honestly, the early Christians, like in Acts and Romans, and they were called mystics because there was just something different about them. There was a different way that they handled their everyday life, and how they handled stressors or how they interacted with other people, or how they lived. The priorities that they set, in their life, there was just something that stood out to people around them that was different. And so people assumed, I think rightly so, that there was something spiritually going on there. And I do believe that what we use the term now, mindfulness, right, is just a mind-body connection that actually the Jewish culture practiced. They had his history was in an understanding that they were a body and they were a soul, right? And so there was a mind-body connection that was just inherent in all their teachings. So they practiced mindfulness in a day-to-day, very practical way that we, as what I like to call the American version of Christianity, doesn't. We've kind of thrown the baby out with the bathwater, I think, with meditation, mindfulness, those kinds of things.
And I'll just throw this in real quick. I don't know that I've told you this or our listeners this, but I started probably at the time of this recording about a month ago. I got targeted on Facebook by this ad that said, "Are you an overweight father over 40? And I was like, "Well, yes, I am." And it was this program for, getting fit and that sort of thing. And so the guy's a Christian. I love what he's doing. So I joined. And awesome. So I've started, Tanya and I walk in a couple miles a day and eating healthier. And but I've been working out, three, four times a week. And I have been really taken back by the spiritual connection, deep sense of God's presence.
Oh, wow.
And that sort of thing as I am working out and, really engaging my body, mind, and spirit as I've got worship music playing on, as I'm out in the garage and I'm lifting weights and sweating like a hog and doing all that stuff. It's like, wow, there is this really deep connection when we bring it all together. And I think that holistic approach is really, that's God's best for us, isn't it?
I do agree. Yeah. Yeah. The pulling it all together. Yeah. And, that's just an amazing thing that I think God has given us. God is triune, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We're triune, body, soul, and spirit. And we have to honor each one of those parts of us, I think, to achieve that balance. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, our listeners will know this and you know this just because we've been friends a while. I'm super duper passionate about renewing the mind and, that transformation in the Christian life happens, the Bible says, through the renewing of our mind. And, we all have I've come up with things over the years that have been really helpful for me and folks in the mentoring program, but I saw what you're doing with this mind-based mood management. And I love it that you have this 5-step, really simple process that people can walk through in order to help themselves, mind their mood.
Yeah. Get on that mood.
That's right. Really manage in a healthy way, not to stuff and not to ignore.
Quite the opposite of stuffing. Yeah.
That's right. Now, so walk us through that. What's that about?
Sure, sure. And it all starts with getting centered. So I'm going to use that word that again. I apologize if it makes anybody uncomfortable. But honestly, it is something that we do. And to be honest with you, listener, you do it all the time. You just may not realize it, right? So when you pause and you say to yourself, "Well, let me think," or "Let me catch my breath," or "Okay, calm down," that is you getting centered. That's you pulling yourself away from the stressor, getting to your identity of who you are, calming yourself down, and maybe you use other things, like maybe you just play a song, maybe a worship song. I know that I have a worship song that's always just hot with me right now. I'm just playing it, you know, 24/7, and you know, then I go on to another song. But for whatever reason, that just pulls me into that space. Maybe when you're at church and your worship leader says things like, okay, everybody, get your mind off the stress of the week and let's focus on praising God now. Okay, well, that's a centering exercise. You know, maybe, you know, the pastor or somebody else says, you know, okay, let's get our heart in praise and thanksgiving and gratitude, and let's thank God, you know, let's do that now in this place. And so that is, those are all forms of being centered. And heck, even your watch will tell you to breathe nowadays, right? You know, so it's just that, you know, almost silly reminder, you know, is let's get centered. So I'd like for everybody to get comfortable with that idea. And even, you know, I'm talking to a group of artists. And so, you know, think about what you do to get into the zone whenever you make art.
Right.
Whether or not you have like a formal thought process or a routine, or maybe it's just informal so that you kind of walk into your studio or you get your space ready. You notice next time your physiology and how it changes. And in that moment that maybe you walk into your studio or you begin, you know, your body starts to change. And maybe at first your heart kind of races just a little bit and you get this tingly sensation across your chest, and maybe it's followed by a calm that's very powerful, and your awareness kind of shifts from inside your body to outside your body to your environment, almost like you're taking like a mental inventory of what's around you and all the possibilities that you could make stuff right. from all those supplies, right? And that might happen in like a fraction of a second, and it happens so quickly and so routinely and so habitually that you may not have even noticed it. And so part of mindfulness is just being aware of those automatic processes that take place and kind of celebrate them and enjoy them. And, you know, so the five steps, it's going to sound really, you know, boring when I say we do five steps, but I promise we're going to make sense of it. Okay.
That's right.
So let's say that you have an undesired emotional state. Okay. We call those bad emotions. I don't really think there is such a thing as a bad emotion, because God the Father displayed every emotion in the Old Testament. Jesus displayed every emotion in the New Testament, and they did not seem to qualify them or judge them as bad or good. And so I think there's still learning there too. But number one is just to accept that undesired emotional state. Right. And we can do that using the three learning styles that we use. We all have a tendency to, you know, your wife Tanya taught, you know, was in the education system, and,
yeah.
and you know, everyone who's in the education system is aware of people that learn their learning style of being an audio, video, or kinesthetic learners. Okay, so that's how we perceive the world. And so I'm dipping down too much. Let me just give you an overview first. So number one is accept. I got to accept, you know, that right now I'm feeling anxious. Right now I'm feeling angry. Whatever it is. Number two is to move that feeling outside of you while still accepting that it's yours. Now, this is very different than denial. We're trying to push something down, okay? Number three is that we're going to see the good in that bad emotion. And then number four is we're going to see some good in the worst possible outcome, whatever it is we're anxious about, for example. And then we're going to emerge kind of refreshed and energized. And so, we'll break those down here in just a second. But, you know, Matt, I remember when I first joined your mentoring program, over 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And I remember the affirmations that you do, you know, like in the morning. I think I remember, if I remember the context correct me, is that you walk through your garden outside and you're just saying these, you know, positive affirmations. And boy, those are great, okay? I'm so for affirmations and positive thinking. When we're dealing with a negative emotion, though, we got to be careful, because we don't want to just use affirmations, because affirmations can be a form of denial if we're not careful, right? Where we're just going, oh no, I'm not feeling this way. I'm feeling exactly. I'm feeling this other way. You know, and we're basically lying to ourselves. So it doesn't really work. You know, it's kind of, I liken it to trying to hold a basketball underwater. You know, it is going to pop up. You know, it's going to come back up again. We can only, you know, it takes a lot of effort to do that. And at some point we're going to lose strength in the, that negative state or that negative emotion that we're in denial about. It's going to pop back up. So a much better way of handling it is to accept the emotional state, is to accept that I'm feeling anxious. Maybe a scenario might be, let's say that, you know, as an artist, you're trying to get into this gallery, and oh, it's so important that you get into it's time to make the call. it's almost like a sales call, right? You know, we're calling the gallery and you want to, you know, get into this gallery. And as you think about it and you think about how important it is, oh my gosh, you know, anxiety just continues to well up with inside of you. That's right. And we're just like, you know, if this doesn't go well, then, you know, bedlam is going to take place in my life. And, you know, we get into a lot of really crazy, you know, thoughts about that. So we do want to change that emotion into a positive one. And probably everyone's done this before, is where you're feeling anxious about something and you can pretty easily switch that one over to excitement, right? Anxiety and excitement are very, very similar emotions. And so you probably have been successful, you know, at doing that. And then when it's excitement instead of anxiety, you now have some energy and it actually can propel you, it can motivate you to do what you need to do. And so again, if we try to do this, you know, with just without doing acceptance, then it's just a denial wall, and that's bad. Okay, we do not want to stay into denial.
Let me pause right there because I think that's so big for people to realize. I remember when I was going through my own recovery, you know, from dealing with having been sexually abused as a kid, and just all the, you know, porn addiction and just wrong way of thinking. And I mean, that was years and years of walking through, you know, that journey for me years ago. And I remember somebody talking me through that. And one of the things that I had never learned to do, and I think most Christians don't learn to do this because of religious baggage or whatever, is that when we have a negative emotion or a fear or something we're anxious about, we don't often take it to the Lord because that messes up our version of perfect. And, you know, we're only supposed to think good thoughts. We're only supposed to be, you know, but when I learned, hey, the worst thoughts that I have, the worst temptations that I have, the worst anxieties that I feel, take that lock, stock and barrel to the Lord and lay it at his feet and get the truth, you know, but part of that is accepting that I'm not a bad person. I've come to this. Maybe you could affirm or whatever. I'm not a bad person because
I'm not a bad person.
Feeling, I know it's like I'm not a bad person because I'm feeling this way.
That's right.
You know, because the emotion of feeling a certain way is not does not, you know, describe or you know, determine who I am. So I can take that to the Lord and I can own that feeling, knowing that, yeah, this is a true, it's a realistic feeling. It may not be something I want to stay in. It may not be something that I want to be my reality, but it's something that I'm feeling right now. And I got to be able to give that to him and be honest with it in order to be able to move through it. Right.
You've hit the key of acceptance, and acceptance is so powerful. It's that, all right now I am feeling this. I am being this, I am doing this. You know, this is the acceptance of where I am right now. Do we stay that way? No. It's all about accepting it first so that we can, you know, now, you know, in full acceptance, we can go forward. And when you're doing that, Matt, you are a man after God's own heart. Mm. We think about King David, right? And how God called him a man after God's own heart. And if you read the Psalms, about every other chapter, David is shaking his finger at God. he was real with him about everything. And I think that that's the model for us today, is I think some people, again, probably based in some religious thinking, is, you know, instead of relationship, you know, the true relationship is that if I'm mad at God, and sometimes I get mad at God, and I go to him and I say, God, I'm mad at you. You know, I mean, this is just really, you know, why? You know, why are you, you know, you're doing this? Most of the time from that conversation, I don't really get an intellectually satisfying answer. You know, he doesn't like answer all my questions intellectually. But there, you know, but if I'm being honest and transparent and open with him, and, you know, I'm being with him, eventually I end up finding myself, you know, curled up on his lap when he's holding me, you know, so I get an emotionally satisfying answer. I may not get an intellectually satisfying answer at the times and that's another form of acceptance. You know, he's infinite. Sure. I'm finite. I can't begin to understand, you know, what's going on with Corona, what's going on with everything that's going on in our world, you know, you know, why did you allow this to happen? Right. We can go to God with those questions, particularly how they're affecting us at a deep personal level. And while, again, we may not get like an answer, we might get his comfort. I mean, I know he wants to give us his peace. He wants to give us his, you know, hope, you know, about the future.
Yeah. So we're talking about accepting this thing. Then we're talking about moving outside of us so that we're realizing it doesn't define us. It's just something that we're feeling right now. And then
you're talking walk you about through?
Now, this part is this is where people get hung up. All right. And people are like, Casey, no, are you for real? What number three and four, you're like, see the good in the bad emotion and also see the good and the worst possible outcome. Again, I have to kind of think of this like as detachment. Again, if this thing happens, like the thing that I'm fearing, what does that say? Because usually, isn't this true? Usually we make up all these stories about if this happens, then this means this about me or whatever.
Running rampant. Yeah.
Yeah. It is crazy.
Well, let's remember that, you know, my go-to scripture for just about everything is Romans 8:28. You know, and the NIV says, you know, that God works for our good, right? Mm-hmm. And the Passion Translation says, you know, God is working his plan to bringing good into our lives, right? Yeah. And the Message says it's working unto something good, right? And so, one, if you feel like you need permission to see the good in something, there it is. All right. You know, we are to do that, right? We know that he's going to bring something good even out of the worst possible situations. And so it's okay to do that in that moment of our day that we're working through this. Shall I walk you through the process?
Just an example of
how it works.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, let's go back to the idea of, you know, you got to make that call, you know, to, you know, the sales gallery or the gallery, and you know, it's kind of, I'll call it a sales call just for, and you notice that you're like not picking up the phone and you're just not doing it right. You know, you're supposed to do it yesterday, but you found so many excuses not to. And the anxiety, you know, we want to now move that to something more productive, right? And so you just, you know, I'll just walk you through like the way that you might think this through. So you might say to yourself, I feel anxious about this sales call, you know, and you breathe in and do a body scan. Just kind of start at the top of your head all the way down to your toes. Just be aware of your states in your body, right? I can talk more about that later if you like. And then you become aware of the fact, you know, that you do feel this anxiety, and maybe you feel it kinesthetically. You know, most people feel it in their gut, but it can be anywhere in your body. Mm-hmm. Is that I feel anxiety in my gut. I feel anxious. I feel anxiety, and I accept that this is my fear. I'm taking some ownership here. I can be afraid. I feel afraid of making this call and it going poorly and failing my family. And I feel my stomach tighten up even more as I say that. This is my fear. I accept that I feel afraid. And that's okay. People feel afraid sometimes. It's normal. I feel and even look at my fear. I see that fear slowly traveling over there in the corner of the room. More of the fear is draining out of me and moving over there, and I can see it outside of me over there, and it's okay. And I understand this fear better now. It's okay, and it has a good purpose. I control it. It doesn't control me. And I see the gift in the fear. I accept its energy and its motivation. The energy feels like love, love in action. And I feel it energizing me to do well on this call. It's really great. I feel more prepared now. And if the call doesn't go perfect, then I'll learn. And failure has value. I can fail. I will gain great learnings from failing. And there's nothing to be afraid of with failure. I actually love failing because it drives me to more success. I am more successful every day because of this energy and even failure and love. I feel good. Let's walk through that process if you don't mind. Okay. So we're going to apply the five different steps. Okay. And let me speak into them a little bit more. So the number one is acceptance. We've talked quite a bit about that so far. Right. And so we have to accept the reality. Number two is to move it outside of me. Now I did it in a visual way. If you're more kinesthetic or you're more audio, you know, you can do it any kind of way. But what we're doing is we're disassociating that feeling from us. Now it's our feeling. Right? We're in not denial. It's not somebody else's feeling. It's our feeling. And there's reasons for it. And we need to understand the reasons for that feeling. That's helpful. But we're not throwing the feelings out of our car, but we don't let it drive the car either. Right? Right. And then we're going to see the good and the bad of emotions. So even the worst emotions, you know, there's something good that can be pulled out of that. We talked about Romans 8:28 and how God, the Father, and Jesus displays every emotion. There's nothing inherently wrong with emotion, and there is no sinful emotion either. There's only sinful actions that are based on emotions, right?
Well, you know, right.
Yeah, that's exactly right, yeah. And so we want to be careful about, you know, the name it and claim it kind of, you know, I think, you know, some of that was not super great. And the whole idea of going into denial, you know, and about not, you know, not confessing that I have this negative. No, let's confess it. Let's accept it. And then let's deal with it. So we got to accept it first and then deal with it. the fourth step, again, is to find some good in the worst possible outcome, and we're going to call it out, and we're going to accept that good that's going to come out of that. Now, this, again, like you've highlighted, is a little bit tricky, particularly to, you know, if you're doing this for the first time, but we're going to see that good in that emotional state, and then we're going to see some good in the object that is to be feared. So I like to play a game in my head I call worst case, best case scenario. You know, what could happen? You know, right, the gallery right. loves me out, and right? they want more. You know, I start selling millions of dollars in this gallery, right? What's worst case scenario? Well, they cuss me out. They think I'm no good. And, you know, you just go worst case scenario. You know, the fear, the phone call just is terrible. You know, I'm so embarrassed. I stutter over myself, you know, whatever it might be. And they never ever want to do anything, you know, with me again. You know, you just go with worst case scenario, and you can kind of exaggerate it, you know, almost like hyperbole, exaggeration to make a point. And we can, as we do this though, we might even find ourselves going into manifesting some of the symptoms of fight or flight. Your heart racing, sweaty palms, short breath, you know, and recognize that that's a setting that's within us. It's, you know, it's a survival mode. You know, God built that for good too, right? You know, we're supposed to go into that mode if we're, you know, a bear is chasing us in the woods. Right. You know? Probably not about a phone call. Right. So we don't need, this is not life or death. And so we need to go ahead and see it, you know, in the theater of our mind, the worst possible thing that could happen. And then we also notice that at the end of that, that we're still breathing, that we're still alive, that we're okay. And that kind of reinforces within us that we can face this, even if the worst thing happens. And we can even get to a place of acceptance that probably the worst thing's not going to happen, and probably the best thing's not going to happen, but it's going to be somewhere in the middle, and we can already be positioned to be able to accept whatever that is, somewhere in between. And then the fifth step is emerging refreshed. You know, it's interesting. Out of all the voices that we hear, there is one voice that is more powerful than others, and it's your own. We listen to our own voice more than any other voice. And so you tell yourself that you're okay, that there's going to be some good that comes out of this. And this right. helps unfreeze you from that immobilizing fear and helps you to take more risks. And of course, when you take more risks, you get more rewards. And that's the five-step process.
Yeah. You know, I think about fear for me as I've learned to deal with it over the years. You know, and I love this just methodology that you developed, but I think for me, it's become almost like a signal, you know, that something is triggering in my heart that is causing me to look at this situation in a way that may not be the healthiest way. You know, that I'm allowing that thing to IMAX, as you said, in the theater, in the theater of my mind.
That's right.
And it allows me to bring, you know, just like we talk about so much of taking that thought captive, and that's right. and you've said it in your step number two, move it outside of yourself. I kind of just think about that as grabbing that thought before it, it comes out, you know, goes into my mind, and hold it in my hand and looking at it. Ooh. And I say, now listen here, thought. Now, you know, we're country people, you know, we're from Georgia originally. So I say, listen here, thought. Now, are you from the Lord, or are you based out of fear? You know, who are you? Where are you coming from? And how can I deal with you in this? Because otherwise, I think if I immediately internalize it and I put all this meaning and emotion behind it, then I automatically let that thing define me, when it may just be there to remind me and point me in a different direction. I mean, am I on the right track?
So good. You know, and it's funny how we don't have a very good theology of suffering. And part of that, you know, we're promised in the Word of God that we'll be tested. And I think that's a test. And it's a trial, you know, we're going to face, you know, hard things. We're not going to, every day is not going to be a happy day.
Right, right. In this world, you will have trouble, right?
Jesus. That's exactly right. And every one of those is a test. It's an opportunity to be able to grow. I think, you know, God, you know, grows us from level to level, right? Like a staircase. And I kind of have realized in my, probably in all this, you know, COVID, being in this house all the time, is that I've plateaued, and I've really just been sensing that there's a new test, there's a new trial, there's something new, and God's going to use that to pull me up to the next level, you know, from glory to glory. And I'm grateful for it. You know, I've been through enough that I know that it's not going to kill me. It might be hard, but that's okay, right? I've been through hard things. We can do hard things. And I love your example, you know, about pulling out and holding your hand. You know, it's almost identical to, I teach something called mind-based mood management. And we go through a process first called emotion mapping, where we can see it, you know, you can feel it, see it, hear an emotion in your body. And we go through a, you know, pretty elaborate process where we just use our, you know, we're artists, so we can use that creative visualization that we have, you know, and just kind of see the emotion. When you find it in your body, it's usually in the chest or gut, but can be anywhere. You know, what shape is it? What size is it? What are the edges of it? What does it feel like? You know, where does it begin and end? What color is it? You know, even is the color light or dark? You know, is the color solid? You know, is it steady or is it changing? You know, is the surface of that emotion, creating like this emotion object, if you will. The surface, is it rough or it's smooth? You know, is it hard or soft? Is it squishy? You know, is the temperature, is it warm, hot or cold? You know, is it heavy or light? See how much detail we're really putting a lot of focus into accepting this negative state where we do not like it, you know, but we're really putting our emphasis in accepting that, you know, is it moving? Is it still, you know, and then I lead the people through a process. I even have some audios, you know, that do this. I have actually 2 points, because, you know, I've always taught in both Christian and secular environments. And so for secular, we do something else. But for Christian environments, I say, you know, just, you know, with your eyes closed, just see Jesus standing in front of you and see him make eye contact with you. And just so much nonverbal communication goes through his eyes. What is Jesus's eyes? What does it tell you about his emotional disposition towards you right now? Mm. What does Jesus feel? When Jesus feels about you, what is he feeling? That's always been accepting, love, you know, great stuff, you know. And it says, you know, and then his gaze lowers and looks at that object in your gut. Now, what does he feel about that emotion, you know, that you've been carrying around like a bowling ball, you know, in your gut, you know? And they give me responses like, oh, he doesn't like it. You know, I said, you know, I kind of think he wants to get out of you. You know, do you think so too? Yes. And so just imagine Jesus reaching inside of your gut and pulling that object out of you. And now it's in his hand. Mm. Now you can see that object there. We also associate a sound to it too. And he said, you know,
like a big old like
yes. That's a good one. And the emotion object has sound too. You know, we identified that earlier. So maybe it's screaming or screeching or nails on a chalkboard. You know, usually it's not a very nice sound. And we just say, you know, as you see that object in Jesus's hand outside of you, right? Over there, Jesus has got it, right? And see, it's almost like someone's turning down the volume control knob, and it's going from 10 to 9 to 8 to 7. You know, you hear it less and less. Yeah, and it's shrinking, you know, in his hand, and it's becoming translucent. You can see through it, you know, and we're doing this. And then, this is my favorite part about working with Christians, is that now Jesus does a really strange thing, and the little bit that's left in that emotion object in his hand, see him just pop it into his own chest, and it's gone.
Mm.
And isn't that what Jesus did 2,000 years ago on the cross, when he took our sin, our shame, our suffering? Everything was put on him and extinguished on him on the cross 2,000 years ago.
That's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that. I love that. And I think when you can see and visualize kinesthetically, whatever, hear that process, and then realize that in that exchange is he takes that negative and then gives you the truth of his kingdom to implant inside your heart, that thing takes root. I mean, I'm just like, I love this process. And the thing I guess I was telling Cameron the other night, you know, he's 16, and I said, buddy, the main issue I think with most people in the world, Christian, non-Christian, whatever, is that they have an inability to lead themselves. And I think this process of learning, although this process is a little different just because you developed it, but this process of renewing the mind, of taking the lies, giving it to the Lord, replacing it with the truth, you know, owning that fear but not letting it define you, you know, and being able to deal with it, that process is so core to being able to live as a thriving person, much less artist. You know, just because we have stuff to deal with all the time, and unless you're learning to deal with this in a healthy way, you just can't, you know, you can't continue going. So Casey, I know people are going to want to continue the journey with you, find out about mind-based mood management. That's a lot of M's, but how can folks continue this journey with you, find out about resources that you've got in that vein, all that sort of thing?
Yeah, very simply, it's my full name, Casey Cole Corbin. So it's CaseyColeCorbin.com. And so that'll take you to where I have, it's funny, Matt, I looked on my platform that I use and I was shocked to see that I have 35 products on that. They're like, when did that happen?
That's right.
Just all of a sudden, I've got, you know, it's courses and, you know, things, you know, that are helpful. And there's a wide variety of pricing in there. I try to always have, you know, something extremely affordable, you know, and, on there as well. So, you know, you can definitely pick up some great stuff. I have a mind-based mood management primer set. And so it's 6 very short audios. And then there's the longer one that walks you through the emotion mapping and the mood management. And if I'd like to throw in one more thing, because when you started talking about replacing it. Well, actually, the next thing,
yeah,
you can read my mind, man. The next thing is that, you know, it's Jesus is standing there and he's taken away, you know, the old thing is that, you know, I have the person kind of ask Jesus for, you know, for a supernatural emotion, like peace, love, joy, hope.
That's right.
Forgiveness, grace, mercy, right? Whatever they need, you know, we say, what do you need from him, right? And it's, oh, peace, you know. And I say, okay, well, you know, Jesus held out his hand and a ball of peace just appears there. And we go through a similar process. What color is the peace, right? You know, and oh, it's very, very bright, you know. Yeah, and so, yeah. And we'll walk through that a little bit. And I say, you know, if you're willing, just let, you know, allow Jesus to reach down and put it right into that place where that old negative emotion was and let it fill that area. And it fills and it grows and it fills it up so tight that there's just no room for it to come back. Mm. And then they, you know, go through a more elaborate, you know, way of sensing and feeling and connecting to God's peace. And then we can do the same with love. We can do the same with joy, same with hope, et cetera. So, yeah, so we want to replace that. It's very much like I hear you talking about in your teaching, is that we're going to take out the false belief and we're going to put in the truth.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. You know, as we wrap up today, talk about briefly when somebody might need help along the journey more than just picking up a book and walking through a process. When would you think that somebody needs to have the services of a counselor, a therapist? When is that most beneficial? And is there a tipping point where, you know, that really is important for somebody? And how might somebody that's listening today be able to determine that in their own life?
Yeah, let me first off by admitting that it is therapy is a wholly unnatural process. I think I said this in our first podcast a year ago, right? Is that, you know, it's so weird that you know, typically come into a room and someone you haven't met before and you tell them their life history and then some secrets, you know, and so it's possible that they know more about you than anybody else on the planet, you know, so that's really weird. Right. And I get that. And I see your point. And when do I need to cross that line? Well, let me just say that, and this is almost dissing my profession, is that I think if the body of Christ acted the way that we were supposed to, we wouldn't need counselors. Mm-hmm. All right. Wouldn't need people that specialize and do that, you know, for a living, you know, for that way. If we would just be talking transparently and honestly to people, not everybody, but, you know, quite a few, you know, a good handful of people that we have good relationships with, I think you can walk through almost everything, right? You know, with just that. So where is that line where you need more? One, if you don't have those supports in place, right? If you don't have people that are holding you accountable, you know, in some kind of structured way, then that's a good indicator that, you know, I probably need to, you know, contact a professional, you know, and not forever, but, you know, I need to be, you know, in counseling for, you know, a handful of, you know, a couple months maybe, and, yeah, you know, then I'm good, right? For most things. It's when, you know, we in my profession, we call things disorders. Right. And so you have an anxiety disorder, you have a depression disorder. Right. And what does that mean? It means that now that the presence of that, everybody gets anxious, everybody gets depressed. Right. But when it brings a lack of order to our life, it's now interfering with our day to day. Then we know that we probably need some help with that. We need to go the extra mile. Right. You know, just, I had 2 people contact me today, and I have an online Google form that people go through, a process of helps them with exactly answer that question. It's kind of a screen in, screen out of, you know, whether or not we'd be a good fit to work together. And, you know, and sometimes I'm not, you know, sometimes I'm like, okay, you know, let me refer you to somebody else because I don't think that I'm a good fit, you know, for you. But it's an educational, ask some pretty powerful questions. It kind of sets some pretty strict, you know, standards, you know, on our therapeutic relationship, you know, as far as what we're going to do, what we're not going to do. And I ask a lot of people. I have actually a section in my Google form that has three demands that I make of my clients. and they're not easy, right? You know, it's like, you're going to get real. You're quit pussyfooting around with this. You know, let's take care of this, right? Don't waste your time or my time. You know, let's do this. And so if you have that mindset now where whatever it is that's bothering you, right? And you're like, okay, yeah, it's time that I do something, you know, then yes, by all means, you know, feel free to contact me I can even help you, you know, get connections with local, you know, resources if you need that. I'll be happy to help you. I do all of my counseling by distance therapy now. So
yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. We've loved doing that over the years in the mentoring program. I mean, just being able to, you know, sometimes people just run up against things in their life that there's a stronghold that they're not able to get through by themselves. Mm-hmm. And there's no shame in that. There's I love, you know, I've told you, you know, my friends, Jim and Pat Banks have done for me, Mark DeJesus, you, I mean, others that are just, sometimes you just need that sounding board of somebody mm-hmm. else that can be an interested, but uninterested party that is, you know, they can walk you through things. And I think
neutral, they're not going to be there on Thanksgiving.
Yet. There you go. No Christmas present required. Right. But anyway, well, Casey, what a joy to have you on today. We'll put all the links to your website and that sort of thing in the show notes so folks can get in contact with you. But thanks so much for the work you do and just for loving the Lord and continuing to lead us in the right direction.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it very much.
Hey, thanks so much for spending a few minutes with me today on the podcast. Listen, I hope it's been a huge encouragement to you on your journey as an artist. Hey, also, before you leave, make sure to hit the subscribe button so you don't miss any of the other episodes of the Thriving Christian Artist podcast. And also, be sure to connect with me on Facebook, Instagram, or at my website, which is matttommymentoring.com. Until next time, remember, you were created to thrive. Bye-bye.